You know, maybe I'll start with the second purpose. So, you know, I want to give good grades. This is not a, you know, this is a graduate class, this is the custom. On the other hand, they should be for free. You know, I've actually seen one case before of a student who intentionally took only very high-level classes because all the grades are good, and it just doesn't matter what you do. Okay, so we can't do that. We can't allow this. So, you know, if you think about it, you can get a theoretically, you can skip all the undergraduate classes and just take graduate classes from the first year and always get A's. So that's the second goal. The second goal is to make sure that you actually review key elements of the material. So somehow the questions should be well spread over the material. And you know, it should be such that if you don't know what the, if you don't know anything about the material, you cannot pass the exam. On the other hand, if you know, you know something, you can just write it, and it's sort of a core. The core is to spend 2 hours of your time providing evidence that that you know stuff, but only providing evidence that you know stuff that you actually really do know, so it's not tricky in any way. Okay? So what we did 3 years ago was we had a three-question exam, and all three questions had, or two of the three at least, had the same general form, which was write a short essay on some chapter of the material, and then solve a simple question, solve a simple riddle on that chapter. Okay, so that's what I propose that the format will be this time as well. Okay, now I want to go over the list of topics that we've covered. It's in front of you, but I still want to read it out loud. And then you should decide, or we should decide together, which of these topics are can be turned into reasonable half-hour essays, okay? Okay, so on the first class, we talked about three colorings, the Rademeister theorem, invariants, and the Kaufman bracket. Then we actually programmed, we showed invariants of the Kaufman bracket and programmed it, and the Jones polynomial, and, well, computed it. And then we talked about some pathologies, if you remember. So we talked about the fact that knot theory is actually topologically not so obvious, and I mentioned that I actually don't like this bit of topology, and that for me knot theory is really just a bit of algebra, kind of. It's pictures module Rademeister moves. Anyway, we then defined finite type invariants, weight systems, and found that the Jones polynomial is finite type, and computed the weight system of the Jones polynomial. We introduced the Holmgren polynomial and the Conway polynomial, and computed their weight systems, shown that they were of finite type, or more precisely that they were power series of things of finite type, without actually showing that they are invariant. So this I never really did, but we did compute their weight systems. Then in general for weight systems, we've found what the four-term relation is and the framing independence relation. We defined the space A, which was central to the class, which was core diagrams modulo the four-term relations. We looked at properties of A. We said, just like knots have properties and knot invariants have properties, they reflect in properties of A, so it's a co-commutative algebra, and in fact it's a co-commutative bi-algebra. Co-commutative, commutative, bi-algebra. I stated the Milnor-Moore theorem without a proof. We discussed the sort of difference between imposing or not imposing framing independence. We talked about Jacobi diagrams, so we switched from A to A up T, which was also allowed to have internal trivalent vertices, and we got the IHX and ASSTU relation and all that. We defined Lie algebras and gave a few examples. We talked about how to get linear functionals on A from Lie algebras in two ways, or you know, one was sort of given a representation, we got linear functionals with values in the ground field, or alternatively, if you don't choose a representation, you get linear functionals or more than linear functionals, so bi-algebra, algebra morphisms into the universal enveloping algebra. We talked about GLN and about how to compute everything completely explicitly in the case of GLN. I suppose it was this case for GLN. We talked about various other algebraic properties of U of G and their manifestation in A. So the co-product, which, you know, in some sense was still present even today, and PBW, and I mentioned that they have analogs in A. And then we did various digressions. So one digression was the proof of, we did two digressions into non-algebraic proofs of the fundamental theorem. So the fundamental theorem says that there is an invariant from K with values in A, and therefore A is the right A, okay? I mean, with properties. And then we gave two proofs. So I gave a Stonehenge proof, and of course it was incomplete and sketchy. And Tsuji gave the Kontsievich integral proof, and it was also incomplete and sketchy, but sort of, in my case, it's because the subject is hard, or it fits into, or the scale is different. Doing this precisely takes a whole semester, doing this precisely takes 2 weeks. We both had about a week, so the difference wasn't obvious, but still, somehow, Tsuji was closer to being complete than I was. Then I started talking about an algebraic way of getting an invariant from K into A. And the idea is to generalize K sufficiently so that it becomes finitely generated, and the question reduces to a matter of solving relations, or solving for the values of the generators, where you have to satisfy some relations. And we ended up talking about trivalent graphs and how KTG is finitely generated. As an aside, we talked about algebraic knot theory and how having a good KTG into ATG might relate to three problems in knot theory. So the unknotting numbers, the genus, and the question of determining ribbon knots. And then we, again, went in the direction of figuring out that KTG is finitely presented. And for this, we talked about tangles and planar algebra, and that essentially at the end led to a complete description of KTG in terms of generators and relations. Well, the description is complete, but our description of this description was not complete, okay, because we kind of rushed through parts of it. In between, we had two digressions. So one digression about Hovanov homology, and another digression by Peter on monoidal braided monoidal categories. So this is sort of a quick summary of what we did in this class. Good. What do you think should the problems be? What would be good things to ask that? This was also one of the questions proposed last time. So, write an essay on A or A trivalent going into U of G. Okay? So, it's open-ended. You put in whatever you put in, but you do have to put in 2-3 pages of content or 5-6 pages of content, and it should be clear that it wasn't written by a robot. Okay? So write an essay on that and put some examples. So let's A be this and B be specific. I mean, where does this go to? Okay? Is this the, does this sound fair? But I think this should be somehow question two. But because even before we should be asking something about finite type invariants. This is sort of, this is a derived quantity from finite type invariants. We should somehow say something about the finite type invariants themselves. So, what should it be?
Just something about weight system for diagrams. Just.
Okay. So, write an essay with the symbolic title derived for T. Okay. And let's do a question three and call it a day. And may I propose that the question will be, explain why KTG is finitely generated, not presented. Finitely generated as an example present So you know, my usual knot is this one, but maybe it's too much. So what's the simplest knot? Can somebody propose an interesting knot to be written in terms of the generators, in terms of the generators?
Peter says Hopflink.
Sorry?
Peter says Hopflink.
Peter says Hopflink. That's not a bad idea. But here's what's missing with this idea. It's missing vertices. So let's add vertices.
We could make it a half dumbbell.
Yeah. What?
A half dumbbell.
Yes, so it's kind of, okay. Is it unreasonable? No, it's not unreasonable. Okay? Does this sound fair? Okay. I'll take pictures of the blackboards later. And you know what? In fact, right now, and then the pictures will become the exams, the exam itself. So last time I gave this class, we ended up giving a continuation class the following semester. I don't think there will be demand for it. I don't think there is enough demand to justify it this time. So I don't think we should do it. For your information, for the last 3-4 years, we used to hold a weekly Not at Lunch meetings, which are now going well, which were stopped for the duration of this class, but should resume, I don't know, probably in January. So, if you're interested, I can add you to the mailing list. Okay, but you have to let me know that you're interested. Okay? Or maybe I'll add you experimentally and then you can remove yourself. Finally, there are course evaluations. So, you know, maybe I'll start with my own evaluation. Okay? So, my evaluation of this class is pretty low, and here's my list of failures. So I failed to cover the promised material. I said U, V, and W knot. We didn't even do U, okay? Or we didn't even sufficiently do the U type. Even what was covered, I felt was too sketchy and too many times I jumped between different topics and, wasn't the quality I would expect it to be. Maybe my biggest failure is that I failed to connect with the new students, and this is partially because it was so easy for me to look at the faces that I know and read them, that I still don't know how to look at the faces I don't know and read them. So I failed to connect the new students, and I also feel that I failed to connect between the old students and the new students. so be it. I failed to properly push the course website. I mean, I think I had an excellent idea how to set it up, but I was too busy to push you to add to it, so it didn't become a lively part of the class. And finally, I failed to return homework on time, and I will fix it over that weekend. And that concludes my list of failures. Now, feel free to copy it and add to it on the class evaluation forms, which Kumar is requiring that we distribute. So, just one thing, the rule is that if it's a tiny class, then the forms don't go back to the professor, because you lose your anonymity. Usually, the normal university routine is that I get a copy of the forms like a month or two later with all identification removed. Okay? In a small class, even this will destroy anonymity. So the rule is that the course evaluations go to the graduate coordinator, who reads them and gives the professor a summary. This is somewhat problematic in this case. So whoever picks up the forms at the end, it should be one of you, and delivers them to Ida, must mark in clear letters on them, do not show the graduate coordinator for Kumar's eyes only. Okay? And then if Kumar will choose to give me a summary, you'll have to trust him that he will retain your anonymity. Okay? I don't know, anybody wants to add comments before we before I go home? As you please, I don't care. You're grown-ups. You decide. This is not my...
So it's not exclusively for students who are registered?
In my mind, there is no distinction between registered and unregistered. Maybe you should mark on the form if you're registered or not, because the forms are not for me. Okay? Anyway, so... See you next Thursday.